Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hey, it's Hasbro. Hasbro makes toys. What's new, Hasbro?
Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head with their own cars and trailers. That's what's new. See, Mr. Potato Head has a car and boat trailer. And there's a car and shopping trailer for his wife, Mrs. Potato Head. It's such fun to do and so easy. Like this. Take any fruit or vegetable. Just stick in eyes, then ears, and then the mouth. You can make the funniest looking people in the whole world. Potato Head people look different every time you make them. Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head with cars and trailers come in $1 and $2 sizes.
What else is new, Hasbro?
A vanity case with toy cosmetics and beautiful accessories and real-looking doctor and nurse kits.
Hasbro makes great toys. It's fun to play with Hasbro.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a Kishka's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Our business is people and their love for trees. I'm sorry, I started laughing on Kishka. I'm like, what's that? You eat it? You don't sleep with it? Right.
Why does it feel like it's been about 6 years since I've done this show? I think this has been the longest week that I've had in a long time. And it just seems like the week went on forever.
Oh, it was marvelous. The three-day weekend was glorious.
Wait a second. Who had a three-day weekend?
Me.
Not me.
It's marvelous. Just another, I loved it. We should do this every week.
Just another day at the office here. And I see you've changed all the configuration here, Mr.
Yeah.
Denny.
That was unorganized madness there that you're coming on after,
so
buddy.
If I actually want to play CD2.
Do you think it has anything to do with the beer, perhaps?
I am hammered, gang. No, I'm just kidding. I think that'll be the show if I ever had one. Unorganized Madness with Dennis, because that was hectic, buddy.
A little bit, yeah. But you guys sounded pretty good.
Oh, so, hey. All right.
You got it out. You got the word out there, and they're doing, you know, really great stuff. And I'm just looking for... Oh, come on.
What you looking for, buddy? You CD?
I'm looking for CD, and it doesn't show up here. So it means I got to go to the other thing here. See, just to have you on the air.
Well, register the board to 1999, and I'm sure the CD will be up, because no one listens to CDs anymore.
Hey,
buddy.
Wait. Dude. Dude.
May I ask?
Don't mess with the show host, okay?
You're right. I'm sorry.
How's he wound up today?
What?
How's Heather doing?
What do you mean, how's Heather doing?
How's she doing?
I'm sure she's sleeping in today is what she's doing.
I miss her. Heather, we missed you.
Do you want her to sit in for you?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well, not instead of me, but with me.
Uh-huh. I'm doing these numbers here, and none of the right ones are coming up. All right. This is going to be a fun. Denny, I think we just hit I was just trying to bring it up. Anyway, welcome to the Mike Novak Show. That was Sarah Batka there, the lovely Sarah Batka from
Buenos Dias,
University of Illinois, Cook County, Master Gardeners, and of course, Lisa Albrecht. Hi.
Good morning.
How did you do this week?
great. You know, I
you also
a little
probably
bit about
had 2 days off, right?
Well, yeah, Thursday through today.
And I hate then all I
had,
of you.
And then
okay?
I had two Thanksgivings because I had Thanksgiving on Thursday with my sister where I enjoyed my free-range turkey. And then I had a second Thanksgiving yesterday with my entire family. So it was great.
You get to... I like your arrangement. That whole...
It's so relaxing.
Oh, yeah. The idea that you just... You don't do it on Thursday, so you don't have the competition between families. Then nobody gets dissed.
Yep.
That's.
Oh, and then we played games all day. We all went for a walk. The whole house.
Oh, the weather
left
was
the building,
so nice.
And we
wasn't
went for
it?
A walk, and we played a game. There's a board game called Grown Ups versus Kids. It's kind of like Trivia Pursuit, but they changed the questions for the aged categories. And the kids' questions, they were like, this isn't fair. And then we would get, like, you know, questions about, you know, things in their lives, which, of course, we are all involved in. So we would know the answers really easy. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you creamed them.
Of course,
the kids.
I went over to Sanders' place, Mike Sanders, usually the host of our town.
Who has his beautiful kids here today.
They're nice. They're wonderful. Those kids are great.
Oh, they seemed awful.
Mike, not so much. His wife, Katrina, is great. Mike, whatever.
I'm sure the invitation for next year is right around the corner.
Oh, it'll happen any day. This is why I don't get invited back to anybody's place. But, as you can see, what did I bring in? What did I bring in today?
Pumpkin pie.
The special Mike and Kathleen version of pumpkin pie?
It was really good.
Well, thank you.
Really?
I know I didn't bring in whipped cream. Sorry about that.
It's better just plain.
Somebody's taking photos of us, too. Are the paparazzi here?
WC Turk is stalking us.
Oh, okay. If you get Turk in here, I want him to take a photo so he can come in and take photos of us anytime. I've got a camera here because I don't have photos of you guys for my website.
That's okay.
Well, it's going to happen, okay?
I told them to let us know so we could put on our TV
so
face
so we can actually
instead of our radio face.
Well, that's true.
Instead of rolling out of bed at 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock on a Sunday. No, you got to roll
a bed
at
a little earlier.
8
o'clock.
8:30. Roll out of bed at 8:30 so you can be here by 9. Today's show, I want those of you who are still in the holiday mood. You know, it was interesting hearing that... hearing them talk about Black Friday earlier because and actually trying to engage people in discussion about Black Friday. I personally, there's no discussion as far as I'm concerned. Black Friday is evil. Let's commit it to the dustbin of history and move on. I understand there are people who are so desperate. There was one guy interviewed on television. He was going to wait in line 3 days. Or 4 days for a Black Friday special so he could save $300. Now, wait a second. Aren't you losing
you
that
making,
much?
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
What are you doing
are you
the rest
per
of
hour?
The... Yeah. Must be making about $1.50 an hour, okay? Nothing's worth that. Sorry. Nothing
what
is worth that.
What I have a problem with is that it's bleeding over. It's no longer Black Friday. It's now become Thursday night. The stores are opening. So the workers can't even get to enjoy the holiday with their families.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, to me, is the biggest perversion.
No, the biggest perversion in my mind is actually the idea that our only worth as a nation is that we buy stuff. That's the message, is that if you don't buy stuff, you're anti-American. If you don't buy stuff, you're a bad person and you don't support the economy. And it's this whole idea that we've equated capitalism with democracy. That is not true. They're very separate concepts. And I just find it annoying. I just find the whole Black Friday intensely annoying, Cyber Monday intensely annoying. Go away. Leave me alone. There's so many better things you could do with your time and your money. And we've talked about some of them on the show. For instance, you know, you want to do some good. You want to give a really great Christmas present or holiday present if you don't celebrate Christmas. Heifer International. Give some, you know. buy a cow for somebody in a country, another country, somebody who could use it, or chickens or bees, because they do all that stuff. Heifer, you know, supported by Rich and Susie Ayer up at Rich's Fox Willow Pines in Woodstock. They put so much effort into heifer each year, and they donate thousands of dollars. And what a great present to know that you're helping a family not just get milk, but get milk and then pass that along to another family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are different things that you can contribute to.
My sister is a grade school teacher, and so she gets, you know, 30 little gifts from her students every year, lotions and, you know, all the teacher gifts. And she said one of the best gifts she's ever gotten from her students was a chicken, exactly, Mike, like you're saying, from Heifer International.
Really?
She said that was the best Christmas present that she ever got from one of her students.
There you go. So that's, you know, do something like that. Do something worthy. Just don't spend it on plastic junk.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to then have to find a way to recycle. And, you know, it's going to be junk. It's going to break. And I know, and I got the kids. And, you know, that's why I play the commercial at the top of the show.
Oh, I was wondering what was the tie-in there.
I don't know. It's just holiday.
Okay.
It's like Mr. Potato Head. Now, there was a toy. You use real potatoes. They don't even use real potatoes anymore for Mr. Potato Head. It's a plastic potato. When I was growing up, we used real potatoes. Darn it. They weren't organic. They had chemicals sprayed all over them, but gosh darn it. We used that potato till there was nothing left. That's that you couldn't even stick the thing in anymore because it wouldn't even stick to the potato anymore. I've got the slinky spot in there too. There.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll play that later on. It's best hits of rampant consumption in America. Today's show, we need to get to it because we're taking too much time here. Some good and some bad. I'm flipping the order of things this week. Normally I do gardening in the first section, or horticulture in the first hour, and then environmentalism in the second. This week, I'm flipping it just a little bit. In the second hour, Richard Christakis from Allsip Home and Nursery, fine sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, is going to come in and answer holiday plant questions. It's, you know, kind of gardening questions. You got a poinsettia, you got a Christmas cactus, you got a Norfolk Island pine, you got your Christmas trees, you got your amaryllis, all that stuff. And we are going to help you keep them alive. Staying alive, staying alive. That's what we're going to do. All right. And so he's going to come into the studio and answer questions. So that I'm telling you now, so you can get your questions ready, 773-763-9278. All right. At some point, I hope that Lisa and Sarah and I can get to talking about some holiday books. If we don't get it all done today, we'll do it. You know, we've got weeks coming up until Christmas. Books are always a good thing to give people. I know it's not made of plastic always. But we've got some quality books that we'll talk about. But to start, several emails this week, notices about some things that had happened in the environmental world and Illinois. Now, the first that you should know about is actually kind of the bad news, because, you know, I've been talking on the show about the open pit sand mine at Starved Rock State Park. Got a notice from Tracy Yang at the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club and Elliot Brinkman with the Prairie Rivers Network to say that the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Office of Mines and Minerals approved phase one of the Starved Rock mine on Tuesday, November 13th. I'll read very briefly from a release they sent out. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources Office of Mines and Minerals has given the go-ahead to a controversial open-pit mine next to Starved Rock State Park in LaSalle County, despite objections from local residents and thousands of Illinois residents, including yours truly. Starved Rock is one of Illinois' most special places, and we are disappointed that IDNR is approving a project that puts it at risk, said Jack Darren, director of the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club.
And here's the one ray of hope. An additional permit from the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency is still needed to allow the release of wastewater from sand processing. The agency has not yet made a decision whether to allow the new discharge. That's why we had that petition last week that I urged you to sign. Somebody wrote to me and said, do you know how many signatures ended up on it? Truthfully, no, I don't. Maybe somebody from Sierra Club is listening. Maybe Cindy Scruckrude, maybe she's listening. She could call and tell me. I don't know how many signatures got on that ultimately. But I hope thousands and thousands and thousands. Anyway, the agency has not yet made a decision whether to allow the new discharge. Wastewater from the mine would be dumped in Horseshoe Creek, which runs from the mine site into Starved Rock State Park. So this is the bad news. I mean, and I've been telling you this for months. It's moving forward. You know, IDNR is hopeless. IDNR just seems hopeless. They are trying to serve two masters. They're trying to facilitate the sale of natural resources. And at the same time, and I'm using air quotes here, protect our natural resources. You can't do both. And it's just sad that they're allowing this to just kind of go through. It's sad that the county of LaSalle has turned the whole county into an open pit sand mine, because I got an email from that way. And I'm not even going to say who wrote this. I've been copied on this. It's official. This email came to me just the other day from some folks living in LaSalle. It's official. The above company has petitioned, I guess it's Quality Sand Products. I can tell you that. Quality Sand Products has petitioned the city of LaSalle for a special zoning permit to mine 120 acres north of Utica at I-80 near Pioneer Seed Company and Hickory Hollow Campground. Well, that'll be good for the kids. Just received this news on Wednesday, but didn't want to spoil your Thanksgiving. Have you driven out to the Osage Curve on Route 6? It's a war zone. I'm reading this from an email that went out to a bunch of people. It's a war zone. The village of Utica and the sand company have thrust themselves upon the environment of 62 families now in litigation to protect the quiet rural lifestyle they had chosen. Absolutely criminal. And they have no recourse, which angers me. This is the third mine. I'm still reading from the email. This is the third mine project in a year. And the expansion of Fairmont Minerals in Wedron, this is insane. I hope the farmers stand up for their zoning ordinance and don't sell out to these mining companies. It seems they have the cart before the horse. Before a man can work, he has to eat. Praying for some common sense. And this is one of the signs off the person who wrote this to me. And I want to thank you for copying me on these emails. I look at them. I don't always have a chance to bring them up on the air, but I do look at them. So anybody else who's part of this communication, please copy me. I want to know what's going on there. So it's a war zone, says this person in Utica. They're putting sand mines all over the place there. And there I probably will be one next to Star Rock State Park. Okay, that's the bad news. Then there was good news. And the good news comes from Joe Davies County in the west side of Illinois, where for 5 years, various groups, including Homes, which is helping others maintain environmental standards, Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water, Prairie Rivers Network, and others, have been working against a mega dairy that was already under construction. If you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, go to the homepage. I got pictures of purple water. Purple water.
That's not natural.
No. That was draining into the lakes and streams in the area. You know, let's just do this. Let's bring in Matthew Allschuler. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the show. Matthew is with the group I just mentioned, Homes, helping others maintain environmental standards. First of all, congratulations. It sounds like it's a great victory for the citizens of Joe Davies County.
Thank you. It is a victory. And, you know, to hear you talk about what happened at Star Rock, it's exactly the same thing. You have an organization that serves two masters. We have the same people helping us with the Sierra Club and Prairie Rivers. And the people in the area feel helpless because we're being told that our vote doesn't count and our voice doesn't matter.
You know, but here's the difference. And I was struck by it as I was putting this together and researching it. In LaSalle County, the board okayed the sand mine, all right? Said, all right, we need this money, although they're not really going to get any money. We need the jobs, although there's just very, very few jobs, and they won't last. But the board approved it. In your case, your board did not, and yet you ended up with this mega dairy anyway. So it seems not to matter whether the citizens have a say or not, whether they should talk to their elected representatives or not, because whether they do or not, these things are going to end up in their communities.
You're right. We do not have local control when it comes to agriculture. There are other things where if the county board or your municipality, your mayor, whatever, town board votes things down, they have the power to change it. But in Illinois and unfortunately some other Midwest states, big agriculture got the legislature over the last 10, 12 years to put things in saying essentially, you know, these big facilities, they're just too complicated for the local people to be able to properly monitor. What we'll do is we'll move all the permitting to Springfield, to the head, you know, to the, or whatever the capital city happens to be of the other states. And then they say in very tiny print, oh, and we'll only make the vote of the county board as advisory, not binding.
Okay, so why that's so interesting, because, you know, and it must be the difference between ag and other kinds of industry, because what I've been told about what happened in LaSalle County is, well, the boards voted and really, you know, those of us in state government don't want to get involved because it's a local decision. Well, in your case, your local decision is only advisory.
Correct.
It's a lose-lose situation. Heads I win, tails you lose. Let's move on. We're putting in the mega dairy. We're putting in an open pit sand mine. Sorry. You know, see you. Wouldn't want to be you.
Right. And the Illinois Department of Agriculture, which, like the DNR, is serving two masters, are they really there to protect us or are they there just to promote agriculture? They have never denied a permit based on the vote of the county board or a municipality. So it doesn't matter. They've always overridden a no vote.
So you're saying that the Department of Ag in the state of Illinois basically has carte blanche to do whatever they want?
Correct, because once land is designated agricultural, the county loses any control over it. They could stop a sand mine, and they could stop a industrial facility, but they cannot stop an agricultural facility.
So it depends on the organization you're working for. So you got the, in terms of ag, the Department of Agriculture, who's approving everything within sight, and then the other, but it's really a different problem. And we're talking apples and oranges here with the IDNR, which, as I mentioned earlier, is trying to have it both ways. They claim to be protecting our natural resources while at the same time facilitating sale of the natural resources. I don't know how that happens, but it's embarrassing is what it is for a state agency. All right. I want to bring in also Daniel Diamond, who was on the show at the end of September when we were talking about CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. And Daniel was a part of that conversation. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
And I should say Danielle, not Daniel. Danielle. both of you, you were involved in this battle against the CAFO in Joe Davies, right?
Yes, our organization worked hand in hand with Homes, trying to get the environmental laws that are on the books enforced against this facility. And I just want to add one thing to what Matthew said about the Department of Agriculture. having all the power in the state to regulate over agricultural lands. In this particular case, these facilities, concentrated animal feeding operations, are not agricultural operations in the sense of the word. They're industrial production facilities, and they should be zoned in industrial areas, not in agricultural areas. But the Department of Agriculture has a set of regulations called the Livestock Management Facilities Act, where it gives them complete authority to site where concentrated animal feeding operations are located. And so it goes beyond just having authority over agricultural lands, but it's these industrial facilities that the Department of Agriculture has complete power over in making decisions about where they are located in local communities.
I want to get this story out. There's so much to it. We're not going to have enough time to get to everything here. But I mentioned Purple Water, which kind of was the undoing of this facility. And you got to understand, folks, they started building this facility. There are no cattle there yet. This is not, even though it was supposed to be a mega dairy, none of those animals are even on the property. The leachate came from grain they had stored on the facility. It was fermenting corn silage. And I think what happened here, Matthew, is that the owner, who just assumed he's never going to get kicked off of here, everything's going to go his way, he got lazy. And from what I understand, having researched this before, AJ Boz is the name of the company. It does have a reputation anyway. But in this regard, they started I'm searching for words here.
They overapplied.
Yeah, well, they overapplied the stuff to the fields and it leaked into the water. Give me the 5-second tour from start to finish, Matthew, of how this all came about. We know that the county voted not to have this in here. What happened after that?
I'll give you the quick overview of everything. In very late 07, a bunch of my neighbors all received what is called a notice of intent to construct from the Department of Agriculture saying, by the way, we're going to be building, AJ Boss is going to be building two 5,500-head facilities a quarter mile apart right outside the small town of Nora, Illinois. And that's about all, is that they have to notify you that they're building these facilities. And that's what got everyone started. And everyone started calling around and making a lot of noise and contacting the county board. And the county board said to the Department of Agriculture, we want a public hearing. And so in January of 08, there was a public hearing in the middle of winter at the local high school, and 500 people showed up, and a lot of them were there till midnight listening to the presentation of how this facility, these two facilities, were going to work. And there was right away a lot of people opposed to this facility, and a number of whom obviously lived right near the facility who received these notices, and a lot of whom are farmers who've been here for multiple generations. Everyone assumes, of course, it's city people who moved out to the country. They don't know what manure smells like, and they don't realize, no, these are farmers who've lived there, some of them since 1840 on the same land, who said, we can't live next to a facility like this. We're going to lose our clean water, our clean air. Our retirement is tied up in this farm. You can't just, when you're a farmer, it's not easy to change jobs. You live on your work. You know, you can't just go and get another job, and it's not easy to move. So they got the notice of intent. Everyone contacted the county board after the public hearing, and the county board in January said, 11-5, no, we don't think this facility met the guidelines that we were given by the Department of Ag to build this facility. And their main concern was pollution to our groundwater. And they based this on a conversation, well, on more than a conversation, but on research that they were given by the Illinois State Geological Survey, who essentially said, you're up in Northwest Illinois, That area was never glaciated. You have very, very thin topsoil, 5 to 10 feet in many places. And under the topsoil is bedrock, but not like nice solid granite. It's all fractured. It's got cracks everywhere. And that if this facility comes in and they start putting the manure they're going to generate all over your fields, they're going to go through that shallow bed, soil into the bedrock and then straight through those cracks into your wells.
And let me interrupt for a second. You're also, sure. That facility is also the headwaters of a stream in your area, right?
Because, and it's actually the headwaters of a stream because it's spring fed. The stream starts on site. Well, where does the water come from? It comes from underground through those fractures. And so if there's a straw coming up with water coming out, there's also straws going down that can let pollution go down. It works both ways. And yes, there was a stream, there was a spring fed stream right on site that they wanted to build one of their two 14 acre manure ponds on top of. And that got the interest of the Army Corps of Engineers, who said, that's a wetland. You can't build there without getting a permit from the Illinois EPA. And so after the county board voted no, and after everyone complained about this, and we thought that the Department of Agriculture would say, well, hey, this is in a sensitive area. According to our regulations and these other experts from like the Illinois State Geological Survey, this is a bad area to locate it. We shouldn't give the permit. But they gave the permit anyhow.
And the guy started building, right?
They gave the permit at the very end of May of 08, and a few days later, he had earth movers on site, and he was building. At the same time, we filed a lawsuit against to the judge, and we said, we want you to stop him from building, because once he gets building, he'll say, hey, I spent all this money. And the judge says, I won't stop it. I will start a trial to see if we should stop it. And then he said to the lawyers for AJ Boss, you understand, if you build, it's at your own risk, because you are on a trial to see if I'm going to stop this or not. But the trial kept getting stalled and delayed, and they kept bringing more experts. And it took until October, even though we filed the very beginning of June, it took till October for the judge to stop the facility, by which point in time he had already spent millions on the ground, tore up dozens and dozens of acres of land, started to dig these ponds, and, as you mentioned, harvested all of this silage. Because he was so cocky, he figured, I'm going to be operational next March. I got to get the food here ready for my cows.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He didn't even have that permit. He didn't have that permit from the IOEPA that the Department of the Army Corps asked for. He did not have that permit at that time. So separate from our lawsuit, he wasn't legal to finish the facility.
All right. Let's pause right there. I got to take care of some business. I'm talking to Matthew Altshuler from Homes, Helping Others Maintain Environmental Standards. Danielle Diamond from Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. We're going to continue the story. We'll pick it up because it has a happy end, which I like. We'll get back to that in just a second. Now, the growing place in Naperville and Aurora has turned their design team loose on the holidays, and you won't believe what they're coming up with. Fabulous wreaths, swags, and containers are ready to meet your decorating needs. Here's what a satisfied customer wrote on their Facebook page. Quote, picked up 4 beautiful Christmas wreaths at Growing Place this week. Nicest ones I've seen anywhere. End quote. If you don't see what you need, you can place an order or come to a workshop and make your own. Design your own wreath, swag, or container on Saturday, December 1st at 10 a.m. at both locations. And their two locations are like nothing else you've seen anywhere. Of course, they're famous for their natural settings, which just add to the holiday spirit. And right now, the Growing Place has garlands, greens, glitter, bleached and natural branches, birch logs and branches, eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, not to mention unique and fun accents. The greens and fresh Fraser fir trees in sizes 2 feet to 10 feet have arrived, or pick up
a scented soil can, soy. Well, that would make sense too in a garden center, right? Soil candle.
It smells delicious.
Yes. Well, if it's good soil, it smells delicious, but it's a soy candle. Oh boy. Exclusive to the growing place. You go ask them about it. Tell them Mike said to get the soil candle. No, don't do that. The soy candle is exclusive to the growing place and it's a customer favorite. The growing place in Naperville and Aurora. Go to thegrowingplace.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
The reviews are in and people love the Christmas trees they're getting at Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian Village of Chicago. They're gorgeous premium Fraser fir trees from Ashe County, North Carolina, just arrived. And they are so tall, full, and lush that even the White House prefers these trees for their magnificent Christmas displays. Here's the best part. Okay, folks, ready for this? Here's the best part. Mention the Mike Novak Show and get free delivery and free pickup after the season. Yes, they will drop off the tree at your house after the season. They will pick it up and then they will recycle it. And not only, yes.
That's a huge value.
It's a great value.
That's the worst part of it all. Getting it there and bringing it
out. That's right. And not only that, but Christie Weber has ready-to-go drop-in holiday containers. Just take them home, plop them in an urn or your own container, and you're done. And while the weather is still warm, grab some brilliant contractor-grade LED bulb strands, light spheres, and twig lights, all in different sizes and colors. They even have LEDs that glow like incandescents. And that's something, Lisa, that you should appreciate. No?
I love the idea of that. Absolutely. I haven't seen that.
Anyway, you know, because I was thinking the solar thing and yeah. and light energy conservation and all of that. Anyway, Christie Weber just opened her wild bird department with everything you need to bring the birds to your backyard this winter and every other season. Join the holiday fun at Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of Christmas color. And by the way, they were just awarded a People Love Us on Yelp certificate. How cool is that? See, now we're in the holiday spirit. We've got Charlie Brown Christmas and good things happening in the environment. At least one good story that we're talking about. I've got Matthew Altshuler on the phone from Helping Others Maintain Environmental Standards or Homes out in Joe Davies County. I've also got Danielle Diamond, who is with Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water. We don't have too much time here, Matthew, but let's sort of pick up the story and how did things begin to turn against the, I'll tell you what, Danielle, maybe you want to address that. How, because you were involved in the litigation in this, how did things begin to turn against, this facility, that had already begun to be constructed?
Well, as
Matthew mentioned the facility began construction despite the litigation, which on a local level, I wasn't involved so much in that case aside from helping write an amicus brief to the Illinois Supreme Court eventually. But I think the table started to turn when the public got really involved in trying to ensure that the environmental regulations administered by the Illinois EPA be enforced against this facility. Matthew mentioned an Army Corps permit that the facility needed to build one of its waste ponds over a stream, which I will mention that stream leads to the Apple River Canyon State Park, one of the most, one of a handful of just a few biologically diverse waterways in the state. But there was the issue with the manure pond, but also citizens began arguing that the facility should have a Clean Water Act discharge permit, which those permits are designed to control the amount of pollution that gets discharged into streams from these operations. And, you know, I think we need to mention that this facility, as I noted before, is an industrial facility. They confine thousands of animals in one place, and they produce millions of gallons of waste. And the reason why they pose a risk to water pollution is oftentimes there's not enough land in the area to distribute the waste evenly, and so it ends up running off into streams and rivers. And that was a major concern of the citizens of Joe Davies County, that aside from the fact that, you know, it got permitted in a bad location, one of its waste ponds was above a tributary leading to the Apple River, but just the operation and management of the facility would cause pollution had it not had one of these Clean Water Act discharge permits. The table started to turn when, with an extreme amount of public pressure on both the Illinois EPA and the U.S. EPA to evaluate the facility, even before it was fully constructed, to determine whether or not it should have one of these permits. BOSS and Traditions, they argued that they shouldn't have to have one of those permits because it would not pollute. U.S. EPA came in and said, you know what, why don't you show us that, you know, this site is safe, that you're not going to discharge into the underlying aquifer leading to the streams. And the Traditions refused to comply with those information requests from U.S. EPA. In the meantime, you have citizens out there water monitoring, and they ultimately caught on multiple occasions the facility discharging from that silage leachate. And in the end, when the stream turned bright purple, there was no denying it was going to cause water pollution. And that's the Attorney General's office got involved, and you had this enforcement action trying to enforce the Clean Water Act, trying to get the facility to obtain one of these permits to control its pollution, and he refused to do it. And he refused to do the tests and the studies demanded by U.S. EPA, and I think at the end of the day, he couldn't meet his burden of proof to show that he wasn't going to pollute, and he didn't want to have to go through getting one of those permits because he probably couldn't meet the requirements of the Clean Water Act in the end. But I think ultimately it was the amount of public pressure and the citizens, you know, trying to get the agency to enforce the laws on the books that ultimately led to this decision that, you know, he decided to walk away.
I was just going to say, it sounds like the Attorney General's office had quite a bit to do with this. And it sounds like it's a department that was actually fighting for the common people and the people who live in the area.
Yes. I mean, that much credit needs to be given to the Assistant Attorney General, Jane McBride, for negotiating this settlement agreement. The Attorney General's office actually weighed in early on when the Department of Agriculture was citing this facility, and they even argued this was an improper location for it. And I think we do have to commend the Attorney General's office for ultimately getting this this settlement agreement with Traditions. Had they not stuck to their guns on the enforcement of the Clean Water Act, I don't think we'd be where we are today.
The word is hubris that BOSS had, and I love the name BOSS. It's BOS, but you have Illinois and a BOSS coming in, and it kind of makes an ironic kind of sense. But these pictures you sent me, Matthew, are from 2 years ago. Purple water. And you know, yep. It's amazing. You could have had this 2 years ago and still be fighting this fight.
Yeah, what happened is when we had the litigation, we had the burden of proof switched to us. We had to prove that it would discharge, and it's hard to prove that it will discharge. And the advantage that happened is once the Illinois EPA and US EPA finally got involved, they essentially said to BOSS, you have to prove it won't discharge. And, hey, there's some tests you could do. And his engineers must have said to him, you know, you can't do these tests. We'll fail. That's because that's what all the experts were telling us. If they actually tested the ground, and they essentially do, they put colored dyes into the water and they see if it comes out anywhere. Well, you know, the purple discharge happened for a different reason. But if they had done that, if they had done those dye tracing tests, the experts we talked to said every spring and stream around there is going to turn color from those dyes, showing that if you spread something on the surface, it's going to go down into the groundwater, come out somewhere else in one of these springs.
Yeah, you know what? And you bring up a really good point, Matthew, which is this is all about the precautionary principle. The precautionary principle dictates that the onus is on the company to prove that they will not pollute. But in this case, it got flipped on its head, as it always does in America. That seems to be the way we run things in this country. The onus is on the citizens to prove that they are polluting. That's just insane. Right. Europe doesn't do this. The United States does this, and this is how we run our governments.
Yeah, and Mike, I will just add, in this case, for months, maybe years, the citizens, you know, were lobbying the Illinois EPA to come in and demand these tests and evaluate the facility, and they didn't require the tests. It was when the U.S. EPA got involved and the Department of Justice got involved, you know, from the federal government mandating these tests, that the tables did turn. But ultimately, it actually did pollute. It polluted. There was proof it polluted. There was no denying it. The stream turned bright purple. So it was, you know, the precautionary principle really didn't work in this case. It helped because of citizen pressure. Ultimately, you know, they caught it polluting and they, you know, US EPA got involved. But, you know, our laws, I mean, I think for the people that are trying to fight the sand mine, I mean, this is a tale of do not give up and continue to collect the evidence that you need to show what kind of problems these types of development projects are going to cause. And that, you know, you have to do that because even the Illinois EPA, which has the responsibility of ensuring that these facilities don't pollute, it basically had to get to the point where it was polluting until there was really severe action taken against the
facility. Yeah, you know, and that's a great way to wrap up. I mean, we could go into the nuances of this, and there's so much to this story. And I may have to have you back, both of you, on the show to go on this a little further. But you bring up so many good points. One, about the Illinois EPA, because right now they're the last hope for the people at Starved Rock. And considering they really didn't do their job out your way, that's not very encouraging. You know, I'm doing my naughty and nice list for the year, since we're in the holiday mode, and I give IEPA naughty. I give DNR naughty. I give Department of Agriculture naughty at this point. And I'm just being kind. I could say worse things. But your other point is well taken too, Danielle and Matthew. You're proof of this, that you cannot give up. You have to fight till the last breath. You have to fight. You go to court. You petition to have hearings. You just work it over and over and over again. And it helps if they spill purple water into your lakes and streams, because then you've got something to show the powers that be.
It's public pressure, Mike.
Wait, hold on. Let Matthew go ahead. Sorry.
Sure. The thing is that the problem to start with is that corporations have too much control in state government. And the example in our case is that the law simply says BOSS and Traditions Mega Dairy can just simply say, we will not pollute. That's all they have to do is say that. We will not pollute, therefore we are a zero discharge facility. And as long as they say that, they don't need a permit. They don't have to prove they won't. And the record of these facilities statewide, and Danielle can talk about that, is abysmal. Sooner or later, they might not pollute the first 5 years. Sooner or later, they're going to pollute. And that's what's happened up in Wisconsin, where there's a heck of a lot more of them than there are here. And dairies, I should say. And yet the state doesn't say, we know you guys pollute. To protect our water, why don't you get a discharge permit so we can monitor you to make sure that you're not leading up to a situation where you will pollute.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as you told me, because we talked earlier, the judge in this case even kind of took them at their word and said, okay, they say they're not going to pollute, so the burden is on the homeowners. Danielle, I'm going to let you have the last word here.
Well, I'd just like to say, you know, eventually the Illinois EPA came around. They stepped in the Illinois Attorney General's office. We thank very much US EPA. But I think this success can really be attributed to the public getting involved and staying on top of these agencies and, you know, collecting the evidence themselves. And if there's any words of wisdom that I can give is, as you said, Mike, don't give up. The public needs to get involved in these fights. And with that amount of pressure, you know, you can have a success like this. And I think Holmes has done, you know, this is a true David and Goliath story, and Holmes has been able to show that with public involvement, citizen pressure, we can get the environmental laws on the books enforced, and that, you know, this is just one case, and hopefully this will set an example for other groups that are trying to protect their local communities to not give up the fight.
All right. Thank you both. Danielle Diamond from Illinois Citizens for Clean Air and Water and Matthew Walshuler from Holmes. Congratulations on your success. It was hard fought, but ultimately the right thing is going to happen. And let's hope it sets a precedent for the future. Take care and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees just before we get to Pat Skatch weather filling in for Rick DeMaio. Actually, here's some comments from the Care of Trees customers, like Bridget from Chicago, who said that her arborist was extremely knowledgeable and helpful when he pruned our very unruly Siberian elm tree. He did a great job and made sure that all the dead branches were removed. We also appreciated the fact that he showed great care in protecting the surrounding plants in our small but dense city garden. The work was professionally executed, and the work area was cleared of debris. Highly recommended. The best comment of all came from one of my listeners recently, this week actually, who told me, because of your show, the only tree company I know is the Care of Trees. Let's give them a ding for that. That's what I want to hear. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
The holiday season is off and running at Lurvie Landscape Supply and Garden Center, and they're overflowing with indoor and outdoor holiday decor. Now, there are two more winter container workshops this week, one on Tuesday at 1 p.m. and another next Saturday at 10 a.m. Here's how it works. You sign up online. Stop by Lurvie's to get materials and expert advice. By the way, they're in Des Plaines. I'll give you the address in just a second. You create your own winter container, and you leave Lurvie's to clean up the mess. They want to, really. And it's only $39. And if you haven't signed up yet for the Lurvie Garden Club, you should, because it's free, and there are exclusive holiday season savings for Garden Club members only. For instance, until this Friday, November 30th, Garden Club members save 20% on indoor lighted branches and all container accents, including pine cones and branches. And throughout this season, Garden Club members get a free biodegradable tree bag and a bottle of prolonged tree preservative with the purchase of any Christmas tree. And by the way, you can sign up. It takes just a couple of minutes. Bam, they send you the information. You're good to go. Lurvie Landscape Supply and Garden Center, 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway. That's I-294. Go to lurvies.com, L-U-R-V-E-Y-S.com, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.
Hang up your stocking this year.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Time is here.
Have a Happy New Year now.
I don't know if you recognize that voice, but that's the Frozen Robins with me singing bass.
I was going to ask if this was your caroling group.
That's us.
Oh, marvelous. Nice. Wow, and you can book you guys.
Yes,
right?
You can. Thank you for
the
plug.
I know you're a little shy about saying that, but I think you guys sound amazing.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
Somebody
it.
Somebody should book you.
Somebody else who's amazing is Pat Sketch, because he fills in for Rick DeMille for us on the show. And I apologize for short shrifting you here a little bit, Pat, but what's happening?
Oh, that's fine, Mike. Good morning. We're short on time, so I'll get right into this real quick. First, our final crop progress report from my good friend Kevin Wancho down in Redick, Illinois. Harvest is complete, the soil is disced, and the fertilizer is in place. This harvest was completed before Halloween, which is one of the earliest harvests that he's had on record. Now the downfall. This year's crop, the corn crop, is down 40% from the last five-year average.
Wow.
And the present soil moisture is worse now than it was last time this year. Kevin's telling me that they're going to need 15 inches of subsoil moisture by next June in order to produce a trendline crop for next season's yield.
And that's a lot. That's a lot of moisture to get.
It is. And that 15 inches it includes the winter snowfall as well as next, you know, spring rainfall. But this process really must begin soon, because right now we're in a 9-inch deficit since January 1st.
That's amazing. And that's why I keep telling people, as long as the ground is not frozen, you can water your trees.
That's right. And I'll give you a quick, I did a first measurable snowfall study, Mike. Our average first measurable snowfall average is November 16th. The earliest has been October 12th, the latest December 16th, and we have not had anything yet as far as measurable.
Nothing measurable at all. No, I guess you're right. It's been too warm. It was too warm until Friday. And we haven't had any moisture. And what do you see in the future in terms of moisture? Are we getting anything?
Very, very little this upcoming week. In fact, looking back, 73% of the past years had snowfall by November 26th. Only 27% did not, and that's the category we're in.
Wow.
So we're really, really close. So I'll get to a forecast here, Mike, if you want.
Sure.
Today, partly sunny, high temperatures in the mid-40s. That's about the normal high. Light breeze this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to have a few clouds down in the upper 20s. And Monday, we're going to be sunny, moving into the upper 30s, still 10 degrees below normal. And the remainder of the week, we're going to see daytime high temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, which are going to be increasing to the low 40s, near 50 by the end of the week.
It is what it is. I mean, 50, you know, it scares me if we stay above again at this time of year. It's not looking good for moisture, is it?
It's not. I mean, what the few chances we have for some light rain that's going to be coming in overnight Thursday into Friday could be mixed with a little flurries, but the snow that they had in the forecast for Monday night and a Tuesday, that's been removed. So.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Pat, listen, I owe you one. I'm going to get you on the show sometime, and we're just going to have you crunch numbers and tell us about all the records that you know about, because you're fond of information. Pat Sketch, of course, is Cooperative Weather Observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago, Climate Research Contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
Stand by for the second hour, talking holiday plants.
Without a care and makes the happiest sound. Bounce up and down just like a clown. Everyone knows it's Linky. The best present yet to give or get. The favorite all over town. The hit of the day when you're ready to play. Everyone knows it's Linky. It's Linky, it's Linky. For fun, the best of the toys. It's Linky, it's Linky. The favorite of girls and boys. Everyone wants a Slinky. You ought to get a Slinky.
And boys and girls, more fun with Slinky Pull Toys. Slinky Caterpillar, Slinky Train, Slinky Hippopotamus. Everyone wants a Slinky Pull Toy.
V
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
One thing you got to love about the commercials of the bygone era is how slow they were. It just, you know, now we're, our kids are used to quick cuts, and if anything lasts a second, that's a long time. A second on the screen, if you study film editing at all, it's just, but those things are just 60 seconds and drawn out. Let's do the whole theme. Everyone knows it's Slinky, Slinky. All right, now, and I know there's a an origin of Slinky. I decided to look it up because it was not invented as a toy, as you know.
I imagine one of those things was probably left over from some extraction manufacturing process, and somebody thought it was fun and took it home.
Well, the toy was invented and developed by naval engineer Richard James in the early 1940s at, well, wait a second. I thought it was not, okay. Oh, wait. Oh, here we are. In 1943, Richard James, a naval mechanical engineer stationed at the William Cramp and Sons shipyards in Philadelphia, was developing springs that could support and stabilize sensitive instruments aboard ships in rough seas. James accidentally knocked one of the springs from a shelf and watched as the spring stepped in a series of banana splits to a stack of books, to a tabletop, to the floor, where it recoiled itself and stood upright. James' wife Betty later recalled he came home and said, "I think if I got the right property of steel and the right tension, I could make it walk. It's alive." Wait a second. Where are we here?
It's alive! It's alive!
There's something to think about while you're playing with your Slinky.
The plastic version is not the right thing, though.
James, the plastic, no. The real Slinky, yeah. James experimented with different types of steel wire over the next year and finally found a spring that would walk. Betty was dubious at first, but changed her mind after the toy was fine-tuned and neighborhood children expressed an excited interest in it. See? Anecdotal evidence. She dubbed the toy Slinky, meaning sleek and graceful, I guess, after finding the word in a dictionary. She didn't Google it? And deciding that the word aptly described the sound of a metal spring expanding and collapsing. With a $500 loan, the couple formed James Industries, had 400 Slinky units made by a local machine shop, hand-wrapped each in yellow paper, and priced them at $1 apiece. Each was 2.5 inches tall and included 98 coils of high-grade blue-black Swedish steel. I wonder how many of those Slinkies still exist, the originals. That would be cool. The Jameses had difficulty selling Slinky to toy stores, but in November 1945, they were granted permission to set up an inclined plane in the toy section of Gimbel's department store in Philadelphia to demonstrate the toy. Slinky was a hit, and the first 400 units were sold within 90 minutes. Yes, in 1946, Slinky was introduced at the American Toy Fair, and on and on. And there you have it, folks. All right.
I'm looking on eBay for the original Slinky.
Oh, cool. Let me know if you find something.
Yeah.
Second hour of the Mike Novak Show. I've got Lisa Albrecht in studio with me, and I've got Sarah Batka, and I am very pleased to have Richard Christakis here, who's the CEO of a great advertiser on the Mike Novak Show, Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort and St. John's, Indiana. Give him a little ding. How are you doing?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. And you're you do a little radio yourself on the side, don't you?
Yeah. Do a show on Thursdays on WJOB, a local Northwest Indiana station, 12:30 a.m. Not quite the reach that you guys are getting here, but
believe me, we're not getting that much reach either. Well, we're getting something here.
Yeah, and it's fun, and I like it, and I think it's you know, my voice gets recognized every so often in the store, and it's kind of weird. So
that is, yeah. Well, you have a radio pipes there, Pat.
Thank you.
I'm going to get to Chris. I saw that we'll get to that, but the point is, now can I call you Rich?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what do you go by? Richard?
Rich.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
One of the great things about Rich, I found out you kind of worked your way up from the bottom over at Allsip, but it's not just you ain't no senator's son, huh?
Well, my brother and I both, my brother David, he's a partner, and you know, worked our way up from doing everything, literally, you know, loading bags of mulch in cars, and did every job in the store. And last June took over as store manager of our St. John, Indiana store. And then this year moved up to the top based on doing a pretty good job. But we've got a great team. We've got a lot of long tenured people. We're very lucky to have a really good staff. So that's why we're able to do an okay job.
You guys do a great job, it's just an amazing facility. I did an appearance at the Frankfurt store this past spring, and man, you guys have everything. It's great, and it's great to have you on the show. And the point of him being here, of having Rich Christakis here, is that we're going to answer your gardening questions specifically. And I assume you know something about indoor plants.
Mm-hmm. At one point, like I said, I did every job in the company. So at one point, I was the plant buyer. So,
wow.
Yep.
You know, you got a poinsettia.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll start with that. How do you pronounce? Okay, survey in the room. How do you pronounce it?
Poinsettia.
You know what? I do my little Chicago slang. I say poinsettia, but I know it's spelled with an I-A at the end. So
okay. And Sarah?
I'm poinsettia.
All right. We're in agreement here. Consensus.
No poinsettias.
Although the best pronunciation of it ever, when we had a big argument about this several years ago on the show about how to pronounce it, Leah Petrusiak, who helps me out on the show sometimes, said she liked Ponzetter, and I think that's my favorite pronunciation.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Ponzetter. How about your Ponzetter? So if you've got questions about your plants, how to keep them alive, how to make them thrive, what should you get, what should you not get, you want to give a gift to a friend, you want to get one for yourself, 773-763-9278. We're going to answer all of those questions. Before we get to Chris and those holiday plant questions, I want to go to line one. Chris, my buddy in Palatine. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, fantastic, Mike. You know, talking about the, you know, your weather report yesterday, just the last hour, I wanted to also mention other victims of the drought that you really haven't heard about, which are Christmas tree farmers. I was up and cut a Christmas tree down in Beloit on Friday, and I'll bet the tree farmer there lost 25% of his crop.
Wow. What are you hearing about this, Chris?
Well,
Rich, sorry.
That's okay.
Chris is on the phone. You're in the studio.
We are definitely hearing that. My brother actually took a box truck up to Michigan a couple weeks ago to grab a few extra trees for cutting up to make fresh cut pots out of there, and he definitely heard that from the tree farmer. And, you know, when it comes to getting a fresh cut on your tree, it's more important than ever because they may not have sucked up enough moisture to retain for, you know, longer. Obviously, Fraser fir is the best way to go because they've got the best needle retention, and they also have a nice fragrance as well. But, yeah, the farmers have been getting hammered lately, and it's just unfortunate. You can't control the weather. It's mm-hmm. one thing we can't control.
Yeah, the sad thing for them, it's going to affect them for a generation.
It could. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. As we know, when a tree takes a hit in a given year, it sometimes doesn't manifest itself until the following year or a couple of years down the road.
Yep.
Well, and that, but just the trees that are, you know, were in the process of growing are now dead.
Well, so. Yeah. In that regard, they're going to have to replant
to some degree. Really good point, Chris. I appreciate it.
I just want to ask you one quick question about Christmas trees.
Okay.
Since Christmas now is a week, you know, the Christmas season's a week later, longer rather than normal. And I picked up, by the way, a Canaan fir.
Mm-hmm. Cross between a balsam and a Fraser.
Right.
Oh, okay. Now that's interesting. I wasn't familiar with that variety. Is that is that
it's
harder
a little
to
trendy?
Yeah, trend. Oh, Chris, you're a trendy guy.
Hey, what
way to
I
go,
say?
Chris.
Anyway, I've had great luck with the trees. I always cut a tree down the day after Thanksgiving, so that way I know when I cut it because you know I think trees on a lot get cut down sometime in October. What should I be doing particularly to make sure that it lasts the extra couple of weeks?
Well, number one thing, obviously, is that when you do a fresh cut at the bottom, it's going to actually seal up again within a matter of hours. Really, you have up to a day, but we like to tell people, within 4 hours because it's just you don't want to forget. You don't want to put it off, and it will start to seal, so that sealing process begins. Get it, so if you get it home, you don't do it, give it another fresh cut. The quicker you cut it, the better. The less cauterizing will actually happen, but get it in. Use a product called Tree Preserve or a Wilt Stop, something that will actually help seal. We also sell a product called Vacation. Actually, the name of the product is called Vacation. It's something you actually can water your plants with, where when you could be gone for a little bit longer period of time, they won't need as much water. Well, it's got a dual purpose for mixing in the Christmas tree water in the stand. So don't hesitate to get it in water use a preservative.
All right, first of all, let's talk about the products you mentioned because folks are going to want to know. Again, give me the products you were talking about.
Well, there's Tree Preserve.
And that is applied where?
You actually mix that into the water when you in the stand.
What do you know what it contains? That it,
yeah. You know what? I'm not exactly sure what's in there. I think it's a preservative. It will actually help seal it from the inside out.
Really?
Yes.
Because the traditional wisdom has been, or conventional wisdom has been, that just water. Water is, because in the past, and you know about this, people say, oh, you mix in Sprite, you mix in, soda of some kind and other things. But I was not familiar with the Tree Preserve.
Yeah, it's another step. Definitely, at the very least, put it in water.
Okay. Well, yeah, and but that's the other point is cutting it and getting it immediately in water. You say within a matter of hours.
Yes.
My feeling is, gosh,
right away.
Do it like immediately. Cut it in your garage, take it and plop it in the stand in 10 minutes, because you really those wounds start to heal. Immediately, don't they, Rich?
Yeah, the quicker the better. You don't want to wait.
What was the other product you were talking about?
It's called Vacation, and it's a product that you can actually water your plants with it when you're going to be gone for an extended period of time.
Uh-huh.
And it actually will go inside the plant, and it will actually help seal it up so that it's not going to perspire as much. It's almost like a think of it like deodorant. It's not going to let that perspiration out. And
I love the idea of a plant deodorant. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, one quick question.
Sure.
Also, one further question. In addition to making the horizontal cut, the fresh cut, would it make any difference if I, slice some slices off vertically, on the trunk? So in addition, I'm narrowing the trunk, removing some of the bark?
I think that you're going to make it dry out even more if you do that.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought it would add more.
Are you talking about right at the base where it's soaking in water?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, anywhere where it's going to provide another place for the pores to suck up the water is going to be good. But don't do it where it's not in water because then you're going to.
Right, exactly.
I'm just looking to
make a wider area for it, for it to be exposed to the water.
Yeah, well, that's the dangerous part, Chris. That if you do that, as Rich points out, and you get a little careless, and the water level drops below that, boy, that's just going to transpire through that area there. So if you're going to carve it up there a little bit, you got to make sure you keep it in water all the time. And that's good advice anyway, keeping the tree hydrated for all the time. Don't let it dry out because once it dries out, that wound cauterizes again and you can't get the water back in the tree. So
Great. Well, thank you for your advice.
All right. Thanks for calling, Chris. Always glad to hear from you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. We have I'm kind of confused about the question there.
Yeah, this is for a guest here. He's asking.
Oh, okay.
About Alsip Nursery.
All right, let's go. we've got Bernie in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
I want to just check my memory. Whatever happened to Bill at Alsip Nursery?
Bill is my dad, but we actually bought a wholesale greenhouse. We grow about 90% of the annuals that you see in our stores. And he is running that now. So he's kind of, he's still affiliated with Alsip in a more of an advisory role. But he's running that wholesale greenhouse operation that we've got.
Well, when you talk to him again next time, just tell him that somebody from Kahn Brothers called and just want to say hello. I dealt with him back in the 60s.
Wow, okay. Will do.
I'm glad you called to say hi. He's his dad after all. I'm sure he'll pass it along. Well, thank you for calling. All right,
thanks.
Have a good one. Bye bye. 773-763-9278. Give us a holler if you've got a question about your trees. Obviously, you can also tweet on. And I just got the handle is at Mike Now. And I know that, all right, who's handling the Twitter? Who's handling the Facebook today?
I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. And I'm actually on the Mike Novak Show page today. We had some lessons learned last week.
Okay. Okay. What do you know about bonsai there, Rich? Because I got a tweet on bonsai. We're always a little bit off message. It's the way my show tends to roll.
Well, when it comes to bonsai, I'm not an expert. I've sat through a few seminars that we've actually had in our store. I used to buy finished bonsai plants. But,
and you're going to get in trouble for saying bonsai because my buddy.
Bonsai.
Bonsai.
Oh, okay.
Dan Costa from the Prairie State Bonsai Society.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get offended.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
He'll just roll his eyes a little bit, okay?
Well, he brought in some beautiful specimens.
Oh, my goodness. He's just... anyway, you were saying.
Oh, I don't want to say that I'm an expert on that because, when you get real technical, I would defer to your friend. Based on the fact that I couldn't pronounce it correctly, I would pass on that.
I'm sorry to bust your chops. I didn't mean to
do that. Right. I'll roll with it.
Good. I'm glad you will. All right. And I just want to see what else. I know they have Vacation on the Shelf.
Yeah, I found it on here. It's a non-toxic, all-natural product. And it actually helps your plants from not having to be watered for up to 2 weeks.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, it was brand new this year.
Oh, okay. No wonder.
So I haven't heard anything.
I'm going to have to try that out the next time I'm out of the house for a while because I've got 40 indoor plants in the neighborhood of 40, and if you, it's tough to go anywhere without, worrying about them.
You use like a self-watering pot system?
No, I just don't go anywhere.
Oh, okay. Got some neat self-watering pots we can show you.
You know what? Usually it's, okay, am I going to be gone for 10 days? Okay, good watering right now. Let's hope they hang on for 10 days.
That's my method.
Yeah, that's the method.
Sometimes
I'm
going to
set it and forget it.
I know some people put their pots, if they have indoor plants, in a bathtub. Put a little water in it, and they'll line it up so you get the moisture in the air, and you have a little moisture at the base of the the plant. That's not such a bad idea, is it?
It's a lot of work, but it sounds conceptually like it would definitely work.
All right, before I get to Bob in Wisconsin, once again, yes,
I was just going to say Bob has some. He wants to talk a little slinky.
And if you happen to have any questions about plants, 773-763-9278, write us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter.
Now, I do, because I don't know how to keep my poinsettia alive. And I've had to put it downstairs in my entryway because I have cats.
and I don't want them to eat the poinsettia. But I don't
and
know
by
how
the way,
moist
and you should know that, and I'm hoping that Rich will agree with me. By the way, Rich Christakis from Allsip Home and Garden. We had this controversy on the show several years ago. The idea that poinsettias are poisonous is kind of
a myth.
Yeah, it's really overblown. I mean, if you ate the whole plant, your cat ate the whole plant, yeah, I might get a stomach ache, but really, it's not that.
It's not going to kill them?
No, no.
Because I do have one Rich, that probably would eat the whole plant.
Yeah, Rich, you're agreeing with that.
Yeah, it's an urban legend. It started in 1918. There was somebody in it. You know how those things go. And
it went immediately to Twitter in 1918.
You know, once it's
it was trending for about 30 years.
Yeah. And so that's good to know, I think, for folks.
How moist do I keep it? And is it my entryway is kind of cold.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's good or bad.
She's tossing some softballs up to me.
I know. Go for it. I'm going to sit back here and just watch you do your thing there, Rich.
Okay. So here's the thing with poinsettias. Well, first of all, we have a really great website, alsipnursery.com. And on there, there's an advice tab underneath there. We've got how to care for a poinsettia. And number one thing, you mentioned the cold. When you're leaving the store, it's a service that we provide. We'll wrap the poinsettia for free in a nice decorative gift wrap. And actually, if you're going to someone's house to give it as a gift, say you're going for a Christmas dinner or whatever, then it's already wrapped that way. But it's also to protect them from the cold. And we try not to let customers leave the store without the wrap on there.
Do you tackle them if they're walking out the door? I would.
I've almost tackled a few people. And sometimes they just don't want it, and so that's their choice. And
now, I'm glad that you say that because someone laughed at me. Somebody gave me a plant, and it was dead cold winter. And I said, do you have a towel that I can borrow to carry it home with? I would just wanted to bring it in there. So it'll be fine. You're going to be outside for just a few moments. But my point was it's mostly made of water, which kind of
well,
freezes
it's also,
when it's
you gotta
cold,
understand,
it's not good for the cellulose.
It's a semi-tropical plant as well. Where do they grow? Mexico.
Mm.
So you carry on. I'm sorry. I'm handling your softball question for you.
Not a problem. You want to definitely wrap it before you leave the store, and we'll do that for you. So it's very important to keep it warm during holiday transportation. Colder temperatures lower than 50 degrees are very dangerous to the health of a poinsettia. But once you get it home, there are a few things that you should know. Most important is actually light, watering, and temperature. This is also going to help with getting it to rebloom. Some people are different than me. I'm the guy that, I buy my poinsettias or bring them home from the store. And once Christmas is over, I tend to throw them out and bring the pot back to the store and throw out all the organic.
I'm on your side. That's mine. You know, because some folks, they can't bear to kill anything, and then they get this plant and it's stringy, leggy, and it's reaching to the.
I've got no problem throwing out a.
Me neither, especially if you're composting it. You know, throw it in the compost pile.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. So basically, check the soil surface daily. If it's dry to the touch, then water it thoroughly. Don't let it sit in don't let the plant sit in water for a long period of time. Poinsettias do not like that. And you want to allow as much sunlight as possible. You know, Mike, you mentioned it getting stringy and stretched out.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got it in a dark room with no natural light, it's going to do that real quick. And that beautiful poinsettia that you brought home is going to, quickly, almost before your eyes, start to deteriorate and not look nearly as beautiful as it did when you bought it. So get it in a nice, well-lit room. Southern or eastern exposure with a window is ideal. Keep it about 2 feet away from the window. I don't know about everybody, but some people's windows are draftier than others.
My house, yes.
heat, cold transpiration through the glass sometimes isn't good. So during the day, like 70 degrees is ideal. And nighttime, no lower than 50. If you, hopefully you're not keeping your house at 50 or below at night.
Well, mine's at 58, so it's borderline.
Yeah, I would do the same if my wife would let me. I like it. I like it cool.
It's a sweater house. Well, so I don't spend a fortune on natural gas. That's what I'm doing. But I also know it's good. I don't want to do that. All right, we got some questions pouring in here. I need to take a short break. So, Bob, about the slinky, I'm going to get to you. John in Whiting, hang on. I have a message I just got from. The point I wanted that Rich just made for you, Lisa. Yeah. You had it in the doorway. Don't. That's where the drafts are.
The drafts are there. I kind of picked up on that. Yeah. I'll move it upstairs. Now that I know that my cats are going to be safe, then I'll bring it upstairs so I can enjoy it.
Yeah, they're not going to be harmed by this.
My neighbors can find their own entertainment.
Yeah. And then I also got a tweet from Annie Haven out in California about the Ecky Ranch, the people who...
Yeah, the breeders.
The breeders. Guess what? They've sold the company. This is as of August.
Breaking news, or has this been around
for a couple of months, but I'll talk about that. It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Now I just have to figure out where I was, because I was here, right, talking about another fine garden center in the Chicago area, and that is The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. They've turned their design team loose on the holidays. You won't believe what they're coming up with. They know their stuff. Fabulous wreaths, swags, and containers are ready to meet your decorating needs. I mentioned this last hour, but it bears repeating. I went over to Facebook, and you can like them, of course, on Facebook. Go to The Growing Place, and you'll see the site up there. And one of their customers wrote, quote, picked up 4 beautiful Christmas wreaths at Growing Place this week, nicest ones I've seen anywhere, end quote. That is a vote of confidence. If you don't see what you need, you can place an order or come to a workshop and make your own. Design your own wreath, swag, or container. Next Saturday, December 1st at 10 a.m. at both locations in Naperville and Aurora. And their two locations are like nothing else you've seen anywhere. You know, they're famous for their natural settings, which just add to the holiday spirit. And now they have garlands, greens, glitter, bleached and natural branches, birch logs and branches, eucalyptus and lemon leaves, pine cones in many sizes and colors, not to mention unique and fun accents. The greens and fresh Fraser fir, and Rich mentioned that earlier, people love their Fraser firs. They have them in sizes from 2 feet to 10 feet, and they're in stock. Or pick up the scented soy candle, exclusive to The Growing Place and a customer favorite. The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora. Go to thegrowingplace.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are 2 quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
There's 2 kinds of pressure in the world. There's holiday gift-giving pressure, and then there's everything else, which amounts to hardly anything at all. That's why your old Uncle Mike is here to tell you that getting something for your gardening friends or yourself is as simple as subscribing to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Aside from the great articles in this beautiful magazine, the regular features alone are worth the price of admission. Each month, the Q&A column answers questions from gardeners just like you. For instance, in the November-December issue, now on newsstands all over Chicago, you're going to learn how it's possible to grow roses in containers. or if actually I meant to say if it's possible to grow roses in containers. And the short answer is yes. How to protect sensitive outdoor plants over the winter? The short answer is it doesn't always work. And how do you tell the difference between a small tree and a large shrub? The short answer is you don't always know. Then there's my column on the inside back page. The short answer is, what was the question? Chicagoland Gardening Magazine on newsstands all over town. This Christmas, get a subscription for a friend. It's literally the gift that gives all year long. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. what did I say? Chicagolandgardening.com. That's hard to say. Or call 888-265-3600. Good thing I'm an employee. They might forgive me for that. 888-265-3600.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No, Merry Christmas.
And a twisted New Year.
Yeah, we've been twisted.
And a twist.
No, oh, yeah.
Twist. And a twist.
Yeah, we've been twisted.
And a twist.
No, oh, yeah.
Twist. And a twist.
Now, Merry Christmas.
And a twist.
To all of you.
And a twist.
As you can tell, it's that time of year when I start bringing in the Xmas carols. So we'll be playing a few of these before the holiday. And we have, as mentioned earlier, that extra week in the holiday. So before we get to our phone calls, real quick, that story that Annie sent me. Thanks, Annie. Annie Haven with Moopoo Tea. Her handle, I should give her a ding, Moopoo Tea, which I have at home and about to use on my plants. Mild and healthy for the plants. The iconic Encinitas nursery that created the international poinsettia industry confirmed Thursday, and this was as of August 16th, it has been sold to the Agribio Group, a Dutch plant breeder and propagator. Agribio will keep the Ecky Ranch brand name, a brand and name, as a subsidiary, said Cheryl Ann Chrysler, marketing manager for Ecky Ranch. Ecky Ranch is already listed as a subsidiary on Agribio's site. Well, they move fast, don't they? The sale ends an era when three generations of Eckys built a large company in North County and put Encinitas on the map at least once a year at Christmas time. Ecky said the operations will continue under Agribio Group. At one time, Ecky Ranch, formerly called Paul Ecky Ranch, sold about 90% of the holiday plants in the United States. Wow. And while competition has reduced that number, the Ecky Ranch is still linked with poinsettias across the country and internationally. Most of its employees are now based outside the U.S., mainly in Guatemala. Well, you got to have the right climate for that. Now, I assume that you've bought from the Eckys before, or have you?
Well, not directly. What we do, you know, we grow at our wholesale growing range. It's out in LaPorte, Indiana. It's called Kingsbury Acres Greenhouse, which it's a sister company of ours. We grow annuals, and mums are the main things we grow. We did do poinsettias 1 year, and we kind of came up with a term. Now we call them Red Devils. because we grew them beautifully, but you know what? If you get a really cold November and December,
yeah,
the heat bill in your greenhouse, and when you're not, you know, the economies of scale that some of these other places are working on. You know, we're a small business; it's not necessarily a profitable category for us. We have kicked around doing it again and with a different approach, but what we do is we buy through some of the brokers. We buy it. We don't grow. We start some things from seed, but we grow from plugs and liners. And but the breeders, you know, you got your South America, you got your Germany, you got your a little bit actually out of Israel, believe it or not, a little bit out of
that doesn't surprise me. Although it's kind of funny to think of Israel growing a Christmas plant.
Well, there's some plant breeders in general that where the cuttings come from around the world. And. And actually, my dad, Bill, who was mentioned earlier on the show, like I said, he's running the wholesale greenhouse, and he went to South America back in January to see some of these places where they start the plants, and it's unbelievable. It's like a laboratory and how
the whole science of horticulture is remarkable now. You know, I've been to various places. I was out for my television show Dig in Chicago. We went out to Ball Hort. You know, and watch them propagating some of their boost vegetables,
right?
You know, which is really cool. I know you sell some of the boost vegetables. I think you do.
Most of the plants that we grow, we buy through Ball, and we go to their trials right there in West Chicago every year and see their vegetable gardens. We do buy our veggies through them. We did do their brand. We did the Burpee. And we also did the Grafted, the Mighty Mato this year, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, the Mighty Mato.
Yep, and they're coming out with a few more flavors of that for 2013, which it's amazing. We're talking about 2013. And
I tell you one thing. When, you know, what's the date today? The 25th of November. Mm-hmm. It's already, as far as I'm concerned, it's already 2013.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's certainly the horticultural business. 2013 starts about the beginning of September, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And I just got a wonderful photo on Twitter. We got to retweet this. Did you see the one from
Scott?
Scott Jameson?
He's got poinsettia tree.
Poinsettia tree.
It's beautiful.
Do you have it up there? You see that? That's pretty cool. Don't put that in the doorway.
We do have poinsettia trees store. Yep, at both locations, and those are awesome. I mean, they're absolutely they're showpiece. They're wow factor plants.
And by the way, that's Rich Christakis from Alsip Home and Nursery. Let's get back to the phones because they've been waiting a long time, especially Bob in Wisconsin, who wants to talk about Slinkies of all things. Bob, you're off topic.
Good morning. You guys started this, and I just have to give you a Slinky was a great toy growing up, but being part of the First Cavalry and the Tet Offensive in Vietnam, and then re-upping again, going back like an idiot as an airborne ranger for another year and a half over that hellhole. I just want to let you know that if it wasn't for the Slinky, the old metal Slinky that we brought with us, they work better as antennas in the deep brush.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You threw them up into trees, and that way your radio man could get down low, and they wouldn't hone in on the antenna.
Wow. So let me ask you this. So when you had it, it was in slinky form. It was compressed, right? And then did you just haul it up and up to the tree, and then it would drop down? It would uncoil, and you'd grab it. How would that work?
Yeah, it would. You throw it as high as you could, and it would entwine in the foliage, and then you pull it back down and attach it to your loop antenna.
Awesome. That's amazing.
And,
so,
you know, if it wasn't for Slinky, our patrols would have been probably ambushed three or four times as much as they were approaching us.
Who came up with that idea? Do you know?
It was a radio man. It was just a fluke. His antenna was, I got a 50 caliber in my shoulder, an antenna offensive, and decided to go back and pay back some dues. And that's why I went airborne. But there was a radio man that had his antenna shot off with a 50 caliber machine gun fire, and he had nothing else to do. And this guy whipped him a Slinky. Just try this.
What was the guy doing to carrying a Slinky?
Well, over there, you carried anything you could from home because that's about the only thing you could. You kept certain lucky charms with you through the day.
That's just remarkable. Listen,
it was just a fluke that this guy, you know, here you're on patrol, and his lucky dog was his charm was a old metal Slinky from the '60s.
That's just great, you know, and I can see why somebody might bring that as a good luck gift, and then it turned out to be a life saving gift as well.
Well, yeah, we had a lot of different things to keep us going over there at night. I mean, if anything you had from the stateside that could bring back fun, memories and getting your mind off from all the slaughtering that's gone down every day over there for a year and a half. Yeah, you hung on to that stuff pretty tight because it was very special to you.
Well, that's a great call, Bob. I appreciate it. Best Slinky story I've ever heard. And thank you for your service to our country. It's much appreciated.
Well, it was a long, hard fight, and we ended up pulling out. It's, you know, unfortunately, World War II vets deserve a lot more credit than we did in Nam, because we haven't won a war since World War II.
You know what? When you're defending the country, you deserve all the credit you can get. Bob, thanks a lot. You have a great day, all right?
You guys have a great one, and have a nice Christmas.
You too. Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. We've got Rich Christakis from Alsip Home and Nursery in the studio, and I've got John in Whiting, Indiana. John, you're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hey, good morning. Could you hear me okay?
Yes, just fine.
Yes, I got kind of caught off guard with the drought this year. I've got about 30 arborvitae trees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go back to last summer, I'm talking about the summer of 2011 and then even 2010, they were relatively wet, and I paid no attention to these trees. They're beautiful. They're tall. I mean, they're 12 footers plus. And again, I've got about 30 of them. And then this summer, I focused, because of the drought, I was focusing on my lawn and my shrubs and what have you, and I just didn't pay attention to the big, beautiful green arborvitaes. And we had those 100-degree days in July, and I said, well, maybe I should start looking at these trees. Well, anyway, make a long story short, I started watering around the 15th of July and watered all the way into October, and I've lost, well, three of them are completely brown, and another three are combination brown and green. The balance are in great shape, but I take it the brown ones are completely dead. And then the brown-green ones, there's really nothing I can do. Or do you guys have any thoughts, any tips, anything I might be able to do to salvage these?
Yeah, caller, this is Rich with Alsip.
Yes,
I got a question for you. Are they brown from the inside, or are they brown inside and out?
You know, good question, because I saw that on the Internet, that if they brown from the outside in, then, in other words, if there's greenery on the inside, then they're just going into like a dormancy stage. No, the ones that are brown are just completely 100% brown. I have a feeling I'm going to be sawing these down and replanting. The ones that are green and brown, it's just a hodgepodge. There's kind of, you know, they're just really getting thin. The brown leafy material is falling off, and I don't even know if it's even worth watering anymore. I mean, I didn't put any nutrients down. Do you think I need to hit them with that?
Let me ask you a couple more questions. And,
sure.
And first, I'll tell you some information and my thoughts on it. And if it's browning from the inside out, that doesn't necessarily mean they're dying. They could be going into their dormant molting stage. Every 5 years, evergreens do a much heavier molt or shed than the every year. You know, there's a cycle. And so you hopefully are in the cycle year where it's a heavier shed and molt. The other thing, and definitely the drought can trigger that to happen, you know, can actually nudge that along. The thing I want to ask you is, could you post a picture onto the Mike Novak Facebook page of the arborvitaes, and maybe we can comment back with some diagnosis? And
yeah, it would be helpful if we could actually see them. But you know, you're pointing out something really important, John, and that is evergreens transpire. Mm-hmm. And during the summer, they were losing water faster than they were bringing it in. And the fact that you didn't water, you know, it's unfortunate for you, but it's time to let people know that if the ground is still not frozen, and, you know, and Pat Skatch was here earlier on the show, said it's going to be in the 50s by the end of the week, get out there and water. You can still water your arborvitaes.
Right.
And you should. Because they're going to go into winter, John, and if they took a hit in the summer, they'll take even more of a hit if the ground is frozen and they're transpiring and they can't take up water. So hydrating them is a good idea. Now, Rich's idea is a good one. Can you post a photograph on my website, The Mike Novak Show?
And sure.
We'll take a look at it.
Also, you know, you're in Whiting, you said?
Right.
You've got sandy soil, so you're going to need to water even more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and
Lake Michigan. I didn't realize that. Yeah, Whiting's going to
be right by the lake.
Yeah.
I'm 150 yards from the lake, and I tell you, I was just at the lake this morning. I have never in my life, and I'm 50, I've never seen it this low. Tom Skilling said it's one inch above the all-time low, and it's so, yeah, the groundwater has dropped along with Lake Michigan. So, yeah, that definitely affected
you know, and again, Pat mentioned we're 9 inches down just, right now, I guess in this year, with no sign that we're going to make it up. So I fear for the spring. And I think people are going to get unpleasant surprises when their trees start to leaf out next spring. And Rich is nodding as well, because some of those trees took a hit this year. Obviously yours did.
Right.
But send us those pictures. We'll see what we can do to help. But in the meantime, for the healthy ones, for all of them, if they're alive, hydrate them. Get them hydrated right now. And, you don't want to fertilize them now. You just want to give them some moisture. And mulching is never going to hurt either.
Thank you.
Cause that's going to add some organics to the soil in a very, earth friendly, slow way. And Sarah, you got anything you want to add to that as well?
No, I agree with what you're saying. Continue to water. Mulch, absolutely. Don't do the volcano mulch. You want to do the donut mulch.
That's
if
true.
You're piling it up next to.
You know, and that's the other thing about your soils that Rich brought out, and that was a really good observation, Rich, that he's got sandy soils, organic matter. You need as much organic matter in your soils, John, as you can possibly get. So every year I would be mulching. That stuff breaks down and it adds, and I would put compost around those trees.
You ever heard of cotton burr compost?
Love cotton burr compost.
That's the stuff to get. And in Northwest Indiana, I've got a store there in St. John. We're the only place that sells it in Northwest Indiana.
Called
cotton burr compost.
Yeah.
It's in a white bag with green letters.
Back to nature.
Back to Nature's the brand.
Go to backtonature.com and find their compost. You know, the problem with that, the compost, is the drought last year kind of really hit them hard. And the cotton in the Texas plains is where they get it. And they came back to me this year, they said, guess what? We can't advertise on your show. We don't have any money. We got wiped out by the drought last year. I'm wondering how they did this year. And some places it's been hard to get, the cotton burr compost. I don't know whether you...
I think I got 3 semi-loads booked for spring.
Well, good. Maybe they're doing better. I guess
And I didn't hear any problems.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
So thank you all.
There you go, John. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
773-763-9278. I'll tell you, I need to break. Dan, hang on. I'm going to get to you in just a second. I want to let you know I got a tweet. You know, while we're talking about, by the way, tweet from Scott Jamieson, excuse me, who, by the way, is with Bartlett Tree Experts. I have all kinds of people listening to the show, even my competitors or the competitors of the Care Tree. He says, tons of dead arborvitaes this year due to drought, roots killed due to heat and lack of water. Never have seen so many killed as this year. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. And hopefully, you know, on my other radio show, I promote the, you know, partner there is Thomas Irrigation. And the last caller is from Whiting. Actually, Drew Thomas is from Whiting. And so, you know, give them a call and get an irrigation system. I highly recommend that.
Yeah. All right, let's take care of some biz. Again, if people want to sneak in a call, I'm going to get to Dan in just a second. First of all, I want to let you know that the holiday season is off and running at Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, and they're overflowing with indoor and outdoor holiday decor. There are 2 more winter container workshops this week, one on Tuesday at 1 p.m., another next Saturday at 10 a.m. Here's how it works. You sign up online. It's easy. Go to lurveys.com, LURVEYS.com. You sign up. You stop by Lurveys. You get your materials. You get expert advice. You create your own winter container. And then you leave Lurveys to clean up the mess. And that's something they're happy to do for you. And it's only $39. And if you haven't signed up yet for the Lurvy Garden Club, you should, because it's free. And there are exclusive holiday season savings for Garden Club members only. I signed up. I get newsletters from Lurvy. And for instance, this Friday, until this Friday, November 30th, Garden Club members save 20% on indoor lighted branches and all container accents, including pine cones and branches. And throughout the season, Garden Club members get a free biodegradable tree bag and a bottle of Prolong tree preservative. See, there's one that we hadn't mentioned earlier. I wasn't familiar with Prolong. You get that with the purchase of any Christmas tree. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center, 2550 East Dempster in Des Plaines. They're just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, which is I-294. It's easy. You come in north, you get off the Tri-State, about a quarter mile, on the left. There's Lurvy's. Go to Lurvy's.com and don't forget to like them on Facebook. Now, I was mentioning the Care of Trees, my great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show, and here's a tip from the Care of Trees. If the cold has arrived, you know that storms are going to come too. That's why I urge you to have the Care of Trees phone number handy when bad weather hits. There's no need to panic and really no need to call your brother-in-law with that chainsaw when your prized tree ends up flat on your front lawn or on your car, your garage, or on your neighbor's tree. The Care of Trees has 24-hour emergency service, and they understand how dangerous it is to remove or prune storm-damaged trees. The Care of Trees will show up quickly, get the job done safely, and minimize further risk to your property and your loved ones. Can't say that about your brother-in-law with the chainsaw. The Care of Trees shares the enthusiasm for the many ways trees enhance the quality of your life. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
The reviews are in, and people love the Christmas trees they're getting at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center in the Ukrainian village of Chicago. They're gorgeous, premium Fraser fir Christmas trees from Ashe County, North Carolina, just arrived, and they're so tall, full, and lush that even the White House prefers these trees for their magnificent displays. Don't worry, the White House is not going to steal them from Christy Weber. Here's the best part. Mention the Mike Novak Show and get free delivery and pick up after the season. Yes, free delivery. They'll take the tree to your home. They'll pick it up when you're done with it, and then they will recycle it. Not only that, but Christy Weber has... And like I said, mention the Mike Novak Show. Not only that, but Christy Weber has ready-to-go drop-in holiday containers. Just take them home, plop them in an urn or your own container, and you're done. And while the weather is still warm, relatively speaking, grab some brilliant contractor-grade LED bulb strands, light spheres, and light twigs in all different sizes and colors. They even have LEDs that glow like incandescents. And Christy Weber just opened her wild bird department, and everything you need to bring the birds back to your backyard this winter and every other season. Join the holiday fun at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, 2200 West Grand Avenue in the heart of the city in the Ukrainian village. Look for the explosion of Christmas color. And by the way, they were just awarded a People Love Us on Yelp certificate. How cool is that? All right, I'm not even going to use the music. Let's just go to line three. Dan?
Hi, Mike. Last week you put out the question of who approved the hydraulic fracturing. You were wondering because we all know it was exempted from the clean air and clean water of the EPA bills. And actually, who did it? Who approved it was the Securities and Exchange Commission, the civil engineers at the SEC.
Wow.
And I learned that from lawyers of the oil and gas industry. The good news there, I asked Mike Papantoni about it, is that they've since reversed a lot of their positions and might be testifying in some cases in opposition to it. So that's who did it. And, of course, that was during the period when they were dealing and trading from their own offices and had the a lot of corruption in them.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, Dan, I want you to call me next time we're talking about the fracking issue and contribute that. I think it'll be an excellent point.
Right. And there was one other quick thought. The there's a constituency for the Starved Rock State Park that I would think if they could be tapped into, which is people who, you know, there's a great following for the national parks. And PBS and people like Jeffrey Bear and Ken Burns have followed that. But our Starved Rock State Park was very much in that same tradition with the big lodges, and I
yeah.
they were built by the WPA, and people in the 50s who grew up in Chicago and didn't have the money to go out to Yellowstone and the other lodges had Starved Rock, and we felt completely you know, satisfied by the experience of having been there. And
yeah, and listen, we're out of time, Dan. Let's get back to this in the future, and I appreciate you listening and contributing.
Sure.
Have a great Sunday. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Rich, wow, the key, keep them cool, keep them hydrated, right?
Yeah, I mean, Norfolk pines are actually a tropical plant.
Yeah. They're not really a pine.
They're actually a tropical evergreen, but they do like it a little cooler than obviously your point said is, but don't let them get below 50 either, because they're not going to like it. They are a tropical plant.
Yeah, there you go. We didn't get to the books, but we will next week. We'll talk about some books that we're going to recommend for the holiday season. Rich, thank you so much. And people
thank
should
you for
drop by Alsip Home and Nursery. Great sponsor of the show. Until next week, go green or
go home.